A reading from the Gospel of John. Peter turned and saw the disciple following whom Jesus loved, the one who had also reclined upon his chest during the supper and had said, "Master, who is the one who will betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus said to him, "What if I want him to remain until I come? What concern is it of yours? You follow me." So the word spread among the brothers that the disciple would not die. But Jesus had not told him that he would not die, just, "What if I want him to remain until I come? What concern is it of yours?" It is this disciple who testifies to these things and has written them, and we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things that Jesus did, but if these were to be described individually, I do not think the whole world would contain the books that would be written. The Gospel of the Lord. Today's Gospel begins with what appears to be a bit of apostolic rivalry among the disciples. Seeing the beloved disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, following Jesus, Peter asks, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus doesn't get involved with Peter's apparent insecurities. Maybe there was a bit of rivalry between them. What Jesus says, though, is right on target. He calls Peter back to the present moment, to the only thing that is of any real importance. He asks, "What concern is it of yours? You follow me." As we know, Jesus is eventually betrayed, but what is curious with this text from the Gospel of John is that Jesus doesn't seem to get too concerned about who or what or how he's going to be betrayed. It's almost as if Jesus were saying, "You know, Peter, does it really matter how this all plays out? Our mission is still the same. We're called to walk along this path called the reign of God. Does it matter if we are betrayed as long as we're being faithful to the gospel? The only important question is, are we on the way? Are we following God's path? Are we sharing the good news of the reign of God with the people of God? After all, if we're worrying too much about ourselves and something's wrong, Peter, you follow me." Doesn't that pretty much sum up the gospel? Today in San Salvador, the capital of the small Central American country of El Salvador, hundreds of thousands of people, mostly poor peasants, will gather to remember and give thanks to a man, a gentle shepherd, who in the midst of utter violence was faithful in his call to follow Jesus. Archbishop Oscar Romero was told to be careful. He was called a communist and a traitor to the faith. They tempted him to enter into the power struggles, and when he was offered a security guard by the military, he refused, saying, "I want to repeat to you what I said once before. The shepherd does not want security while they give no security to his flock." In the midst of it all, Romero did the one thing that was important. He followed Jesus. That is, after all, what the gospel is all about. Many people didn't get what Archbishop Romero was doing because it seemed too risky, too unconventional, too one-sided. Simply speaking, it had never been done that way before. It didn't make sense. But since when did following Jesus ever make sense? Since when does carrying one's cross make sense? Maybe the reason that many people are turning away from Christianity these days is because we keep trying to present a domesticated version of the gospel message that makes sense. We propose a religion that is nice and proper and pretty, that doesn't make waves or upset any apple carts. The fact is, it will never make sense to love one's enemy or to lay down one's life for one's friends. The question is, are we willing to follow Jesus with all that such a call requires? Archbishop Romero upset the status quo because he refused to play the game. We have a choice to make if we want to follow Jesus. In today's gospel, Jesus cuts right through the power games and adolescent turf wars, what Pope Francis calls ecclesiastical careerism. Jesus doesn't mince words. He just looks Peter in the eye and says, "You follow me." About 8 months before he was brutally assassinated while celebrating the Eucharist, Archbishop Romero described what a church that follows Jesus might look like. What's interesting is that he doesn't talk about liturgical rules or the Ten Commandments or taking up a second collection. 8 months before a bullet pierced his heart at the altar, Archbishop Romero said, "I'm glad, brothers and sisters, that our church is persecuted for its preferential option for the poor and for trying to become incarnate in the interests of the poor, and for saying to all the people, to rulers, to the rich and powerful, unless you become poor, unless you have a concern for the poverty of our people as though they were your own family, you will not be able to save society." Our psalm response today says, "The just will gaze on your face, O Lord." Blessed Oscar Romero is contemplating the face of God today. And as he contemplates Christ, he's probably looking at each of us lovingly saying, "Unless you become poor, you cannot follow Jesus." Romero, like Jesus, died on the cross a poor man. They both sold everything to buy the greatest treasure of all. Today, with Monsignor Romero at his side, Jesus turns to us and says, "And you, come and follow me."